Hello. It's been a minute. I'm glad to be talking to you again. Welcome to the podcast and thank you so much for joining me again. Today we're going to be talking about the all scary process of trying to get a job. I'm going to do a podcast here, which is going to be divided into two parts. And we're going to look at how exactly you prepare when you're looking for your dream job. And when you look at the second part is what you should be doing when you're actually in the interview. Now, I'm not going to look at the standard stuff that general people talk about. I'm really going to look at stuff that's specific to creatives. Like, what are the things we can do to make sure that we land our dream jobs? So sit back, relax, and let's go.
It's time for the main event of the evening.
This is Artwell, and you are listening to the Creative Rant.
Greetings and a big welcome to all of you. If it's your first time listening to the podcast, welcome to the Creative Rant crew. Basically, what I do here is I rant about all things creative with the goal of learning something new that makes me and you a better creative. For those of you who've been listening to podcasts since the beginning, you are awesome and I thank you. Thank you so much. Today, we're going to talk about the process of landing your dream job. Now, what I'm talking about here is not about the, you know, make sure that you've studied for X amount of years and all those kinds of things. The focus of today is really about you've gone on the internet, you've seen that post, and you're like, I really want that job. This is my dream job. What are the things you need to do? Now, I'm going to divide this post into two parts, like I mentioned earlier on, and I really want to do this because I believe the two parts deserve the most attention separately. So the first part is going to be about preparation before you actually go into the interview. And then the last part is going to be about the actual interview itself. Those two parts are super, super important and really need a lot of attention when you jump into it. So without wasting any more time, let's get into the first part. And the first part is about really preparing at the beginning of the interview process. So number one, what is it? It's the CV. This is the first thing that you generally prepare and create when you want to go into a job interview. And throughout my whole career as a manager or as a person who has received CVs, there's one thing that has been a real big frustration for me. And it's people who are overly excited when they create their CVs and they create super long CVs. Now, my thing has always been that no one is going to read a 16-page, 10-page CV. Nobody cares. Nobody has the time. In fact, I was reading an article earlier on today where recruiters actually mentioned that they will generally spend plus minus 2 minutes on a CV. Now, you must think about the people you are sending the CV to. Think about the environment that they're in at the moment. They've put out a job post on many, digital platforms. They've received thousands of CVs, and now they have to read your 16-page CV. Think about it. Nobody's going to read it, right? You know, a good example that I like to give is my father has had a very good career. He's had experience for many, many, many years. And he still insists on having his CV be under 5 pages, right? And that includes, the cover page, which is very, very much summarized. He keeps it nice and short and crisp. And I've even taken it a step further, and I feel like 4 pages overkill. And the reality is, if you're spending a long time selling yourself, then you're not really selling well. You should be short and punchy. Think about the creative campaigns that people create and billboards and all those kinds of things. Short and punchy, but it lands the point super hardcore. So my biggest piece of advice on this point on the CVs is make sure that you front load your CV. And what I mean by that is take the information that is most important and critical and put it up front, right? Because remember, they spend 2 minutes. So what recruiters do, and I'm not talking about like recruitment agencies only, I'm talking about whoever's the hiring manager, is that they will skim through the beginning and they'll know from the beginning if they have a connection with your actual CV. So that's point number one. Number two. Make sure you create your CV for the machine. Sounds crazy, I know, right? But it's the truth. The reality is, majority of CVs that get sent to businesses aren't seen by human beings first. They're actually seen by software. And what the software does is that it skims through the CV, finds keywords and key phrases, and then makes a recommendation to the actual hiring manager. Now, how the software works is that it actually bases its recommendation based on the listing. So if you find that dream job, make sure you restructure your CV to have all the talking points that are inside the actual listing. Now, what that means is that if you use keywords like, you know, if you want to be a designer in an agency who has experience in multimedia, put those things in a way that is structured very similar to the actual listing. Don't plagiarize the whole listing, because, you know, that's just a whole lot of the issues. Just make sure you have those key points and those kinds of things. But obviously, when you're doing this while being honest. The reality is if you're going to have one standardized CV that's gets sent to everybody, the chances are your CV is not going to be seen by a human. I personally don't agree with the machine skimming through CVs, because a machine doesn't understand nuances and all those kinds of things, and it's also a bit lazy. But it is what it is.
And now, the random fact of the day.
According to a study, daydreaming is good for your creativity. In fact, these moments provide some sort of mental incubation period that enhances creative thinking. I hope all my high school teachers are listening. I was just enhancing my creativity.
And so concludes our random fact for the day.
Number three. Now, this is something that is very dear to me, because I've seen a lot of people make this mistake a lot. And it's got to do with portfolios. You know, so portfolios is an opportunity to shine and show off. Now, there are two parts to this, right? The first one is, how long should a portfolio be? And I get this question all the time. And the next one is, how should I structure the portfolio? So I'm going to attack both parts, but let's start with how long. I've had this rule, and there's no scientific basis on this, but this is my personal rule. And it's to keep your portfolio under 16 items. Otherwise, it becomes too much. When I say 16, I mean 16 photos or scripts or whatever it is that your portfolio consists of. I try to keep it at 10. And my thinking is based on the structure of an art gallery. So what an art gallery does is they utilize space quite well. So there aren't a lot of things. So one artwork would be placed on a big wall, but the whole idea is to focus attention on that artwork. And what they'll do is they'll have not too many pieces of artwork so that you can appreciate that particular visual in a nice, uncluttered way. So I try to go 10. But what I've seen a lot is a PDF, which will have on one A4 page, six images. And then on the next PDF, there'll be like, you know, one or two or three images. And that's not great, right? Because if it's six images, you're not letting each image live and breathe and be experienced nicely. So treat it like an art gallery. If you're going to do a PDF portfolio, have at least one image with a nice small little description of what it's about. Again, like an art gallery. Have it on a beautiful white background. And then the next page, do that, right? And that's the way that people can really appreciate what you're about. Because remember, they're hiring you for your craft. That's the difference with creativity. They're hiring you for your craft, and they wanna get a sense of how well you can design, create, paint, whatever creative craft that you're in. Now, part two of the portfolio bit has to do with the format that you send it in. Now, in the past, what we would do is we would take a portfolio bag, which was sufficient, right? Today, you can do a PDF, which is great. It works quite well also. My favorite approach is to create a portfolio website. And it's not that hectic, right? You can use free websites like Wix. You can do WordPress and all those kinds of things. The nice thing about doing a blog or a website portfolio is the fact that you can add video, and you can be really interactive about it, and it can be very clean. And you know, you're not bombarding your recruiter with flash disks, or you know, and it can't get lost. So that's the route I've always gone, but not everybody can do it. A PDF is also perfectly fine, but physical, no, that's not necessary anymore. Please, you know, try avoid it, because it also just creates clutter for the person that's interviewing you. Number four. According to a study that was done by Career Builder in 2016, 60% of employers use social networking sites to research job candidates. That was in 2016. And that was an 11% increase from a decade before that. And I think by this year, I believe that it's almost close to 99%. In fact, it's almost irresponsible for a recruiter to not check a social media profile of a potential candidate before hiring them. Why am I telling you this? Because this is probably one of the most important things that you need to do when you're preparing for a job. Clean up your social media profile. So this is LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, whatever it is that you use. you know, just clean it all up, right? But I think more important than that is, you know, and this is a whole other podcast, is just think about the nonsense you're putting on social media platforms. Even if you hide your platform from public viewing, the reality is that you can be tagged in something that can appear on a search because they are going to Google you and you lose your job. So it's super, super important. But to add on to the stats that I just gave you just now, you can also be judged based on what you don't have on digital platforms. So if you don't have a social media presence and you're super paranoid about high reason, you know, seeing things that you might have done bad and you delete everything, that too can also limit, you know, your potential to being hired. Social media helps when it comes to hiring because it allows people to understand what kind of person you are. So watch what you put on social media platforms. And yes, they do check.
Quick side note. Don't forget to follow us on social media platforms. Simply search The Creative Rant.
Number four. The next one is something that you've probably always heard and most of us actually don't do. And it's actually preparing for that interview. If it's your dream job, you really need to put the effort into it. The thing that I always say is when I go into an interview, it's a two-way interview. So I'm not going to be interviewed. We're both going to be interviewed. I'm going to ask questions about the business. I'm going to ask about the, you know, how it's doing. What's the culture? What are the people like? You know, what are the working hours in this new world? You know, what is the flexibility with regards to working from home and all those kinds of things? Now, asking these kinds of questions, one, shows that you actually did prepare. Two, it shows that you yourself have got standards and you're not going to just accept anything that's just given to you. And obviously, you don't want to overwhelm the interviewee by, you know, bombarding them with questions and not allowing them to ask questions. But you want to be engaged. You want to be in the conversation. So make sure that you go in there with questions and make sure those questions are well researched. Point number five. Now, you can send your CV, you can send your portfolio, which is all good and well. But if you really want to make yourself stand out, you need to do something that differentiates you from everybody else who's applied. This can be anything. And a good example is what people used to do back in the day. Well, the creative few. A good example was a young man really wanted a job at a specific company and he was willing to go all the way. And what he did is he used up his last money, bought up a big billboard and put out his request for a job interview on that billboard right outside the building. And he got the job interview and he got the job. It's an extreme, but it's a really good idea. And in the digital world, lucky for us, there's a whole lot more options that you can do that aren't that extreme. A good example is one gentleman bought a Google ad. Well, he bought a couple of Google ads. And what he did was he identified the interviewing managers within a couple of companies and he bought Google ads with their names. He did some research and he found an insight. And that insight is, you know, people like to Google their own names. And what would happen is when a person Googled their name, they would see this ad pop up which said, you know, Googling your name is fun, but hiring me is even more fun. And that intrigued them. They clicked onto the link and they were sent onto this online CV/portfolio. And boom, he got the job. Really creative, right? So basically what I'm saying is find your way to stand out amongst the clutter. Make sure you're just not another CV or another portfolio that's laying in the pile. Do something special. Grab their attention. So those are a couple of points that I wanted to share with you. And I hope that they help you and they take you on the right path to making sure that you get your job. So this is part one. We're going to do part two. In part two, what we're going to do is we're going to talk about the actual interview process, what you should do when you get into the interview, the kind of things you should prepare for when it comes to interviews, and also the most common questions that are asked within the interview process, especially when it comes to the creative industry. So a big thank you from myself. Wait, before I go, there's one other thing that I think, I can't believe I almost forgot this. There's no scientific back behind what I'm about to say, but I just have to say it. Putting a picture on your CV, why? Why? Like, seriously, why? Why are you putting a picture on your CV? I received a CV once which had a picture of a person who was in their lingerie. I don't understand. I don't think a picture on a CV is needed, but hey, each to their own. Anyway, that's my thoughts. Take care. Have a fantastic night, day, or evening, or whatever it is where you are. And I hope to see you soon.
Ladies and gentlemen,
this is Artwell, and you've been listening to The Creative Rant. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on your favorite podcast platform. And make sure that you follow us on social media.
Oh my gosh.